Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I do wonder if there could be a 2025-esque Saquon season coming for Cook, because let's face it, a lot of his touchdowns last year, I think he had 4 40-plus yarders. That was one of the top highest marks in the league. We've seen him flash the receiving ability, but they haven't exactly leaned into it since 2023. And then it's just a matter of, what if the Bills offense did take a little bit of a step back? Could it be a situation like Saquon last year, where he just doesn't have the same amount of opportunities to punch in those touchdowns?
Ian Harditz, so to clarify that comparison a little, Barkley, and look, I'll preface this with, and Ian would say this too, you're not going to rush for 2,000 yards and expect to just sort of do that again. I mean, that would never have been like the expectation for Barkley last year, but in 2024, he led the NFL in not only rushing yards, but attempts, you know, not coincidentally, touches, 2,283 yards from scrimmage. The second time in his career he's gone over 2,000 in that category. He also did it as a rookie for the Giants. There's often been a lot of receiving volume with Barkley that, you know, Cook might aspire to at this point. It's come down from just his one outlier year in that statistic was when he was a rookie. 91 catches as a rookie for the Giants. 721 yards. I mean, you almost take that from DJ Moore this year. More yards. If he's going to have 91 catches, you want more than 721 yards. But you know. But Barkley went from 2,005 rushing yards and 13 touchdowns to almost like half that, 1,140 and 7 last year for the Eagles. And what Ian is saying, and this isn't just a fantasy point, although it's the kind of analysis I think that makes good fantasy players good, is you're not stopping at, oh, this guy's great. Next question. I mean, you want to know, how did he get to those numbers? And what Ian is saying is how Cook, this is a good thing, but it's also among different statistics or features, not as sustainable, where he had, you know, the explosive plays last year. He's an explosive player, but you know, those, you know, there's some variance year to year on that front. So Barkley, basically, was he the same player? I mean, are people saying that Saquon Barkley is not as good anymore? I don't know. I haven't heard much of that. But 65 fewer carries, 900 fewer yards.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
6 fewer touchdowns last year on another good Eagles team. And there's the tush push there. And that's what, and I think Ian said this too, that's what Cook and Barkley have in common that I think just sort of intuitively you might think works against them, in that they have quarterbacks who rush for touchdowns like it's nothing in Hurts and Allen. But it hasn't hurt Cook. I mean, 16 touchdowns 2 years ago. So Ian sort of sounds a little bit pessimistic that Cook comes close to, if I'm not misrepresenting him, comes close to the kind of year he's had the last 2 years, you know, through no fault of his own. And I've said it. I mean, I have a tough time clicking the button on Cook when I can get Genty or even Kenneth Walker. I think the Chiefs are, it sounds like, and a lot of people are saying this, ready to shift their philosophy with Mahomes off the injury, with still a kind of shaky wide receiver room like the Bills have had. It's ironic, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs such great offenses and teams these last many years, both leave a lot, have left at least, if not still leave a lot to be desired in terms of weapons. So here's Kansas City maybe planting a flag, going out and signing the Super Bowl MVP, a running back, big money, you know, we want that. And how do you do that? Why do you do that if you're not prepared to lean into it? I mean, it's not just what they do every other year, which is just go get Kareem Hunt, even though he's kind of terrible now. But whatever, it's been good enough for the Chiefs. So I like Walker among all those guys, and Chase Brown makes a lot of sense too, which leaves me kind of empty when it comes to Cook in fantasy. Not that the Bills don't have a fine running back who has done a great job for them. I mean, he is no small part. I don't think you need to hear this. I think you already knew this. He's no small part of their success these last couple of years. Is it fair to say that they might have been able to go farther with a different attitude on offense? I think it's a little bit fair. I mean, maybe not last year as much as just in the last 5 years, and Cook hasn't been the lead guy for all of that time. I think, you know, we all, to varying degrees, want to see the Bills be a little bit more, I don't want to say up-tempo, but down the field, you know, try to bigger chunks from their offense. You know, maybe this will be the year for that. I don't think I mentioned this the other day when I had it in mind. Again, I'll mention Aaron Schatz here, who for ESPN ranked the best teams to not make the Super Bowl over maybe the last 50 years, maybe the entire Super Bowl era. There was a team from the 60s, I think, that made that list, if I remember right. And number one of all teams in Super Bowl history, like Super Bowl era history, the best team by his DVOA metric to not win at all, to not even make the Super Bowl, was Baltimore maybe 3 years ago, the year that they crushed everybody and then lost the AFC Championship at home to the Chiefs. And then number four on that list, I mentioned this with Mike Tenier the other day, was the Ravens the next year that lost here in the game that Andrews dropped the two-point conversion and they had the three turnovers to lose the game to the Bills. So Baltimore came in as two of the top four teams in a single season ever to not make the Super Bowl. And the Bills came in at number eight on that list, if I remember right. Somewhere down a little bit, but still pretty high. And it was the 22 team. And that was only significant to me in that, according to his DVOA, it's the 2022 team that was the best of all of these. And that's not 13 seconds. That's the year after that. That's Hamlin, 22, and the loss to Cincinnati in the second round. It's that team. 13-3, only 16 games because of the canceled game in Cincinnati. And then eventually in the second round, the Bills kind of implode that day in the snow against the Bengals. Can't get stops ever. You've got Diggs screaming at Allen on the sideline. That was the end of that. Or almost, I guess not. I mean, he came back the next year and then was kind of phased out and then traded. But I thought that was interesting. And I'm not sure, I don't know, can you do this easily? Like sort of rank these Bills teams, say the last 5 years, against themselves? Like just how would you put them in order? For me, like it's all kind of been, I know it's not one season, but it's one era. Allen McDermott and... not all Diggs, but that would not be an easy challenge or an exercise for me, is to try to rank these last five Bills teams. You know, maybe last year's is second. I don't know. Maybe last year's team, could it have been the best of the five? They were not as good on defense last year, so probably not. And it's the only one of the five where they did not win the AFC East, actually, either. But it wasn't because they were bad. I mean, just New England went and outraced them. So I thought that was interesting as usual when it comes to Aaron. That's at ESPN.com from earlier this week. Brian Koziol is going to join me at 5. Yep, first ball of the year tomorrow. I kind of, you know, respecting Ian Hartz's point, man, get out there and at least practice for your team's sake. I don't think this is a team that is really expecting big things from itself, from me, from everybody in the group. It's not super competitive. I mean, I say that. I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm playing with three women tomorrow, and that doesn't mean they won't be competitive, but I've played with a couple of these women before, and it's mostly just sort of where's the beer cart kind of day. But I kind of, at this point, now that it's tomorrow, want to just get to tomorrow and hit my first ball off the first tee and see what happens. I mean, what am I going to do? Go tonight? What I've thought about this week, or maybe the last couple weeks, is just sort of chipping golf balls in the yard a little bit, just to sort of get my hands somewhere. When I stopped playing seriously, I mean seriously, I was never like playing for money, but 15, 20 years ago, I was playing every week, you know, mornings all the time, club tournaments, that kind of scene. One year I posted 90 rounds, and there's a lot of time on the calendar where you're not even allowed to post your round officially, and times when I'm playing in scrambles, I was just like obsessed with it. And when I cut back on that after my kids came around, and I don't think that I hold this against them, but I started playing less, and then I started playing poorly, and that just got in my head, and I'm like, I'm not enjoying this. I should be doing something else. This is expensive too. Why am I doing it? And, you know, that's a different point. But when I would play after not playing for a long time, where I really struggled was like short game. Not so much putting, but I had no feel around the greens at all. And I don't know if most people would say the same, maybe. I feel like picking up a driver and whacking away. I mean, that I was never a great driver, and I feel like even though I'm playing five times a year, if that, that hasn't been too different. But if I'm not playing on a fairly regular basis, I'm sort of putting my hands in a, like, as if I had a golf club in my hand, around the green, I'm just a mess. So that's, maybe I'll do a little bit of that by tomorrow and give myself some chance of not embarrassing myself. Odds are, though, come on, really, you don't play at all. I think the last golf I played was in this tournament last year. So I'm not expecting too much. Brian at 5, we'll talk mostly Sabres with Brian as we get a little bit closer to training camp. I mean, what is it? They have that prospects event. It's the Bruins this year, back-to-back days, right at the weekend where the Bills open in Houston, that Sunday. So we're that close to games, you know, and then camp is right there and preseason games are right after that. Mike Schoep here at 803-0550. No Bulldog. He's back on Monday. You're listening to WGR.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.